I'm called Rupert Giles.
Rupert.
Rupert.
You're not too old to put across my knee, you know, Sonny. Anyway, what did I call you?
Made with care for Randy.
Randy Giles? Why not just call me Horny Giles or Desperate for a Shag Giles? I knew there was a reason I hated you.
Randy's a family name, undoubtedly.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 6, Episode 8, Tabula Rasa, directed by David Grossman, written by Rebecca Rand Kirschner, original air date November 13th, 2001, to an audience of 5.4 million people. And right off the bat, everybody, we got some freaking shout-outs. We got a couple of shout-outs from all kinds of different sources. I'm going to start off with these Spotify shout-outs that we got from lovely, lovely human beings. We got one from Tyler is a Penguin. Tyler, thank you so much for your Spotify five-star rating. Really, really appreciate that. Finally caught up on the podcast, so that's awesome. And then we also got one from Lucy Coburn, a.k.a. Skipper Bear on Discord. They actually said that this episode is one of their favorite episodes of all time, Tabula Rasa.
Ooh, so interesting.
They planned their spot. They planned their shout-out. And here they are. So, Lucy Coburn, thanks for the five-star Spotify.
I would suggest not planning out when to do it, because it might end up...
Yeah.
Being you never know. Sometimes it works, sometimes it won't. But we do appreciate every shout out that we get, every five-star review. And we have a couple more from Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We got one from Katie the Wild. You're awesome too. You know? And we got a couple more. We got one from Red Dinger, exclamation point. And the only reason they left a review is because in episode 39, we said, if you made it this far, you should leave a review. So that's nice to know. It's nice to know that that's when we decided to ask people to start leaving reviews. Thank you for that. And we have another one. They keep coming. Yeah. From Jolblum. And this is their first review that they've written for a podcast, and we're happy to be anyone's first.
We are honored to be your first.
Yes.
Honored. I also got another shout out for Slither and sending us a Taco Bell gift card. So, Vance, I'm going to force you to fucking drink Baja Blast proper for the first time.
bacteria-laden fountains. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Slither Ann. Thank you. If you want to get a shout out, Apple Podcast 5-star rating and review, or a Spotify 5-star rating, and send a screenshot of that 5-star rating to @boyswatchingbuffy or boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com or my DMs at Joe Welke. Those are all the ways to get in touch with us with the reviews for shout outs. Also, you can get us something off of our Amazon wish list, which we have linked in the show notes. So there's the shout outs, I think. And Vance, it seemed like you had another one, actually.
Yes. We got to give a very special shout out.
Oh, right.
For our Instagram user, Barrel Outlaws, who sent us some delightful Buffy collectible figurines.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And
those things look freaking sweet.
Yeah. And if you want, you're possibly going to see these in Joe's Fashion Report /corner in the background,
which you can find on patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, and of course, Joe's Fashion Report /corner. We got merch.
Yeah, I just want to double down on Barrel Outlaws. We've been trying to get this package from them for a while. We finally figured out a way to do it, and it's great. I didn't know what they were sending us. So, thank you so much, Barrel Outlaws. Check them out.
Yeah, those are dope. All right, we have anything else to announce up top, Vance?
Do you have any other follow-up on last week's episode, the musical episode? Have you said all your piece? Do you have any more stuff to say?
No, I think what additional things I had to say were said in the Discord, which join our Discord.
You're going to have a whole backlog there.
There's a lot of chatter about Once More with Feeling. Yeah. I stand by everything I said. Mm-hmm. Still didn't like Sweet Song that much. Thought it was too low in his range. Didn't make use of his talent because Alex, our musical Discord expert, sent the link of the dude singing something that's more in his natural range, and it sounded great. So I was like, okay, all right, I wasn't crazy. Like, the thing is, I wasn't like, oh, I hated this, and then didn't explain why. Yeah. Like, I was meticulous about, like, I didn't like this. Here's why. I feel like it was too low in his range. And then you also had a great opinion about, like, the Giles and Tara blending of their voices didn't really go.
Yeah, because you brought that up. I had only watched the episode one time, but I have listened to the soundtrack since then. So I was able to listen to the soundtrack. And you know what's interesting listening to the soundtrack? The whole Tara complete thing plays well when you're not looking at the visuals. Honestly, like, you make me complete. She goes high with it. You're like, okay. Without the visuals, you're like, okay, that is a fine ending to the song. I think the visuals distract so much for the end of that one. But I love the reprise with Giles coming in. It's just Giles is singing like he's in the back of a coffee shop. It's just the way he sings. He's not it's not a musical performance, you know? Yeah. And I think the same goes for Spike too. Like, Spike stuff is good. Someone brought up, was it Alex or you that brought up somebody brought up on Discord that it needed a little more to it, a little more fire behind it.
Yeah.
Which I could see.
Somebody brought that up.
Yeah. But all the songs, the whole episode's great. It's a great episode of the podcast, we think. We're super happy to have Johnny come on board to join
Johnny
us.
Johnny killed it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I listened to it again. And the song that really stood out to me listening again is the opening song. I really enjoy that a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. It gets a little lost because it's the first one and then all the other stuff happens. But Buffy's song.
It was a good intro into like what's going to be going on next. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is our banger of a introductory song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she starts with a bang. She finishes with a bang. She bangs.
Yeah.
She bangs.
She bangs. Oh, baby, when she moves.
Speaking of banging, I don't have a transition.
I also want to give a little precursor here, everybody. I'm a little bit under the weather, so my voice might sound a little different. This is Joe speaking, so it might be a little creakier, a little oakier, a little, I don't know, it just doesn't sound like normal. Just wanted to do that. I got a little bit of a dry throat going on, so just wanted to note of that.
No peanut skins, no nut skins in the throat.
I have no nut in my throat.
People are just joining in right now, like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I think that might actually be on our Angel podcast.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, no, we're crossing over our callbacks.
But all right, shall we get into Tabula Rasa?
Yeah, we got some predictions, right?
Yeah, man.
So, we didn't get your prediction.
I don't know what we predicted, to be honest.
I've been keeping track of the predictions more this season. So the predictions we had. I said Giles and Tara leave or Willow afraid to use magic. And then last second, I was like, or a big memory erase.
Dang.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said they try to move on, but there's a big fracture. okay. It kind of would have happened if they didn't lose their memory. Yeah. Or you said, jokingly, entirely in Spanish. And Johnny predicted Tara and Giles leave. Buffy, Spike, drama is behind them. And Anya and Xander elope. Mm. And that Willow would be scared to use magic. Which both me and Johnny thought would happen. And then, no, not at all. Because yeah. I was thinking, I was like, Willow could be afraid to use magic. But what would Willow actually do? Nah, she'd try to solve it with magic and make a big one. Yeah. And when I thought about clean slate, I was like thinking of, there's a David, oh man, what's that Tommy Boy actor and,
David Spade.
I think David Spade's in a movie called Clean Slate where he lost his memory. And I was thinking of that. And I was like, oh, maybe she just erases everyone's memory. And that's what happened.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the episode. Episode starts with a... Dude, these recaps are getting insane. When I see the recaps at the beginning of these episodes, it seems like random crazy shit thrown in there.
I love they threw the kitten gambling.
They threw the kitten thing in there. I was like, what the
they
hell?
They kind of had to, though.
Yeah. But we get a Xander and Anya engagement recap. We get a Spike winning kittens at a game of poker recap. Tara and Willow fighting about how Willow is using too much magic. We get Willow mind wiping Tara. We get the Buffy being torn away from heaven recap. Then we get the Buffy and Spike kiss recap. Whole lot of recapping going on. So the episode actually opens up with Buffy in the graveyard, as we so commonly start these episodes. So she's walking around the graveyard. Spike comes up from behind her and she's about to stake him. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's just me. I want to talk. Buffy's like, I don't want to talk. I got nothing to say to you. And he's like, dude, we got to talk. Okay. We kissed. Okay. That warrants a conversation, don't you think? And then Buffy's like, don't worry about it. Because I will never, ever kiss or even touch you again. And Spike's like, ouch, a little harsh. Seemed like you were enjoying it. And then out of nowhere, a stake comes flying off screen, almost impales Spike, gets stuck into a tree, and Buffy saves him. And the person who threw the stake.
I love this. I love this so much.
Yeah. Loved it as well. It is a mafia guy with a shark head. I guess you could say he's a loan shark.
I wrote loan shark demon. That's an actual shark.
Yep. And the shark guy, he's just like, hey, Spike, when are you going to pay me back? You owe me 40 kittens. And Spike's like, I just need more time to get those kittens for you. You know I'm good for it. And the shark guy's like, oh, yeah, I know you're good for it. Yeah, you're real good for it. But I'm going to have my goons here. They're gonna beat you up. They're going to rough you up a little bit. And then so the shark guy's goons, who are vampires, walk over and they're about to rough up Spike. And Buffy beats up those goons for Spike. And then the shark guy goes up to Buffy and he's like, hey, have you ever thought about doing, you know, some debt collecting work? You could get a lot of money doing that. And Buffy's like, no, I would never. Like, what?
I thought she should. I was like, wait, I would just say I'm only roughing up demons for money. That's it. I won't rough up anyone else, just demons. That's a great job. You're getting paid for your services. They're cat loans. They're demons.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. But in this whole conversation with the shark guy, Spike is vamoosed. He has left the scene and Buffy's like, why do I keep saving this fucking guy's life? Things would be so much more simple if I stopped saving Spike's life. Something we've been talking about.
In my notes, what I took from this, because we're back to that thing in Buffy the Vampire Slayer with characters monologue to themselves at the end of scenes, which we haven't had in a while. Like,
yeah,
the scene is over and she's doing a full, it's not like a one line tag. Like, we get the one line tag, like, oh, you're leaving? Oh, what about that? This is a whole like paragraph that she's saying to no one. And how does Spike disappear? They're in a wide open field.
I thought that she was going to like walk 3 steps and he was going to pop up from behind a grave.
Yeah. They're looking at him. That's what I thought was going to happen. They're looking in his direction. That's super nitpicky. Not a big complaint. It's just really funny to me.
Yeah. Maybe through one of those smoke bombs like Jonathan.
Yeah. Even though you could still see that person running too.
Yeah. So anyway, then the next scene is Xander, Anya, Willow, and Tara. They're talking about how Buffy was in heaven, and they're all kind of, Anya's trying to imagine what heaven must have been like. Like, was she wearing Birkenstocks? Was she playing a harp? Did they have wings? Was she in white robes? Ugh, it can't be heaven if they're wearing Birkenstocks. Birkenstocks are gross. And Tara comes in with this theory of, hey, there's like a zillion heavenly dimensions, okay? Who knows where Buffy was at? And I was like, what? I guess it kind of makes sense as there's a zillion hell dimensions.
It makes total sense. But that would be something that Anya should know more about than Tara.
Yeah.
Tara is like a normal person that has practiced witchcraft.
Yeah, and she's not even like that powerful anymore.
Yeah.
She's just a regular human that's like, ah, there's a zillion heavenly dimensions. Trust me. I've been to none of them.
Yeah, and trust me, when we were doing the whole debate whether or not to bring back Buffy, I never once mentioned that she could possibly be in heaven. Never once did I say, oh yeah, what about the dozens and dozens and thousands of other heaven dimensions? Nope. I just looked at Willow and said, you're right, she's in hell.
Yep. Speaking of Willow, Willow's all sad. Willow's like, can't believe we did this. Can't believe that we took Buffy out of heaven. And Xander's like, hey, we didn't know. We thought that she was in hell. That's why we did this. We didn't know that she was in heaven. And Willow's like, no, I was just being selfish. I shouldn't have brought her back. This was just me wanting to be selfish. And then Tara's like, hey, we can't change what has already happened. Buffy's back. We got to try and make things better for Buffy while she's here. We got to do our best to make Buffy comfortable and feel good. And Xander's like, what if we have like a weekly meetup, like a movie club or a book club, and we can all hang out and it'll be nice. And then Willow's like, oh no, I've got an idea. I can fix this. I know a spell. And Tara's like, no, no more spells. I was like, damn, okay.
Yeah. Xander also goes, you know what? We can't beat ourselves up about this. We didn't know. And I'm not going to feel bad to have Buffy back. I'm happy Buffy's back. And it was just one of those like interesting coping. It's a Xander coping mechanism of where he's just going to be like, all right, I'm just going to kind of blank my mind out of this.
Like, yeah. And when he breaks it down, he goes into like caveman speak.
Yeah.
He's like, Xander like Buffy. Buffy is back.
Yeah.
Xander happy.
Yeah. Just like, all right.
Yeah, fuck Buffy's feelings, you know?
Yeah, no empathy there. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know, spending Tara's more time like, with her be it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's watch a couple of movies together. Oh, yeah. That'll make you forget.
All dogs go to heaven, no Buffy's.
But Tara's like, no more spells. And Willow's like, why? And Tara's like, dude, you know how dangerous spells are, all right? You know this. It's crazy how you don't realize this. And Willow's like, but I could do a spell that'll make Buffy forget that she was ever in heaven. And Tara's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And Xander and Anya just dip out. They're like, oh
yeah. They're like, oh, I forgot we got a puzzle to solve in our room. Goodbye.
God.
They leave so Willow and Tara can have their fight. And Tara's like, dude, what the fuck are you thinking about with all these spells? And Willow's like, I think it's a good idea. And Tara's like, dude, I know that you used a spell to wipe my memory on me. Like, I know that you did that. And how could you do that after what Glory did to me? And I didn't even realize that whole situation until she said that. And I was like, oh, I wrote in my notes, damn, good point.
Oh, yeah. I think I brought that up last podcast. Yeah. That Glory had fucked her in mind.
That's so fucked up.
Like, you already know she's been... Like, that's part of her song, too. Like, you know I've been through hell. It's like a part of, like, the Glory thing. So, yeah.
But Willow's like, but I just thought I wanted to make things better for us. I wanted you to forget that we even had a fight. I wanted to make things better. And Tara's like, you don't get to decide what's better for us, Willow. You did it the way that you're doing everything. You don't consider other options. You just do a spell. And it's not good for you, and it's not what magic is for. And you're helping, and Willow's like, well, I'm just using magic to try and help people. And Tara's like, no, you're using magic to help yourself now. You're fixing things to your liking. This isn't like how you're helping people. You're helping yourself. And then Willow is all sad. And then Tara kind of is like, hey, bro, I don't think this is working out. And then Willow's like, what? Are you really going to dump me? I need you. You can't dump me. I need you. I don't need magic. Here. I'll prove it to you. I won't do magic for a whole month if you promise to stay with me. And then Tara's like, well, let's not go crazy here. I'd be surprised if you could make it 1 week without magic.
I don't think the Scoobies as a group could last 1 week without magic at this point.
Yeah.
Willow was on her fuckboy. She's on her fuckboy she's like, I need you, baby. When she said that, I was like, ooh, this is not good. Not good.
It was also one of those lines that just doesn't sound natural coming out of her mouth.
But I need you, girl. Come on.
I need you, baby.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah, it was kind of like if you listen to our Angel podcast, there's some things that Charles Gunn says that I'm like, that doesn't sound like anything that he would say coming out of his mouth. Like this Willow, I need you, baby. It did not sound right. But Tara's like, hey, you go a week without magic and we'll see. We'll see. And then Willow's like, so are you saying that you're leaving me? And Tara's like, we'll see. We'll see.
I think you have to, though. Like,
you should have left Willow alone. Like, I mean, immediately once you found out.
Yeah, once you found out, there's like no going back. Like, you can't trust. I would have put like some type of magic protection amulet or something on me. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, Tara knows magic. Maybe she could do that for herself.
Like, you know that she tries to erase your memory and you're going to break out with her. Don't you think the first thing she's going to do is try to erase your memory again? Like, put something on your head. Get that thing that Magneto wears so that he can't get his brain red. Like, do something.
So Charles Xavier can't get into his head.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
She just came out with a giant tinfoil hat.
Oh, man. Yeah, the last line of the scene is Willow saying, are you saying you're going to leave me? And then it cuts over to Giles talking to Buffy. And Giles says, I have to. And it's like, oh, this is the old call and response scene change that we've seen so many times before. Mm-hmm. But Giles is telling Buffy, hey, I'm leaving. I got to skip town. And Buffy's like, you're leaving me? And Giles is like, yeah, I feel like I'm holding you back. Remember my whole song where I was singing that you weren't listening to? Sang a whole fucking song about this, dude. I'm standing in your way.
Yeah.
But you were too busy throwing the world's worst punches. But yeah, he's like, I gotta go. Like, I can't stand in your way anymore. I feel like you are, I'm holding back your development as an adult and as a human being. And you need to like do some shit on your own. And Buffy's like, no. You're deserting me. You are deserting me. Please stay. please stay. And Giles is like, I can't stay because you know that I can't bear to see you suffer, and you will rely on me because you'll like see, you'll be in a situation where you're suffering and then you'll lean on me and you know that I'll come running to your rescue. I can't be doing that anymore. You need to stand up for yourself. And I've taught you all you need to know about being a Slayer.
Thank you. I felt the same way. I have that line in bold on my notes. No, you have it. There's so much. There's so much I still don't know.
Yeah.
Do we even know where they come from?
I was like, Vance is going to lose his shit.
Do we even know where they come from? She knows about the first Slayer. She had to learn about other Slayers from Spike.
Yeah.
Literally, Spike told her about two other Slayers.
Yeah, and then like five seasons in, Giles is like, hey, here's a vision quest.
Yeah.
Well, what?
And he told her that after he was already planning on leaving beforehand.
Yeah. Wild. Man. Wild set of circumstances. Wild thing for Giles to say.
I will, in Giles' defense, though, I will say his argument of him leaving, because I brought up last week, I was like, his whole song and like, I can't stay. Like, this validates a little bit of it. Like, at least he has his rationale. I might not fully agree with his rationale, but at least he has one, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Buffy's like kind of counterpoint to Giles. Like, you can still be here and I can still be strong. And Giles is like, I've already decided this, dude. I'm going back. I'm sorry, dude. I already bought the ticket. Is not refundable.
He's like, once I saw Dawn read a book and find a demon, I was like, you're good. You don't need me.
Right. So Giles is like, hey, I'm still going to leave. I think it's the right thing to do. And Buffy's like, it is not the right thing to do. And he storms off. And Giles is just left there like, fuck.
This episode, Buffy is at her peak poutiness. Sarah Michelle Gellar is at peak pouty lip this episode.
Yeah, dude. In this scenes, especially.
Yeah.
Pouty lip overdrive.
This and the scene at the bronze later, so much poutiness. Like, you hear about pouty lips and then you see it and you're like, oh, this is pouty lips. Like, but she doesn't have like pouty all the time, but they
So then we go over to Dawn and Tara. They're about to head over to the magic box, and they're waiting for Willow. And they're like, hey, Willow, come on, we're ready to go. And Willow pops out and she's like in a towel. She's got a towel on her hair. She's got a towel on her body. She's like, I'm not ready yet. I just need a couple more minutes. And then Dawn and Tara are just like, well, we're fucking leaving without you, dude. All right, we're heading out. We'll see you over at the magic box.
They're raising Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, they're her de facto moms.
I mean, she's got a collective raising, I guess.
Buffy's not, Spike is, once Buffy came back, Spike was like not helping Dawn that much.
Yeah. Spike was too busy trying to get with Buffy.
Giles refuses to be a dad to that.
Yeah, he'll be Buffy's uncle, but he doesn't do shit with Dawn.
No.
That ain't my problem. She ain't even real, dude. But as soon as Dawn and Tara leave, Willow does a spell and just automatically gets, it's like, bro, you didn't even make it a fucking day.
Uses magic immediately.
Like, Willow suggested a month. Tara was like, I'll go easy on you if you can do it a week. And then she doesn't make it a day. She doesn't make it a day. And she uses it on the most frivolous bullshit. Like, let me get dressed.
Well, she did it to get dressed to do her next thing so that she could
buy
time. At first, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, you're just going to use it to change your clothes? That's real lazy. But then I was like, okay, she's doing it as an excuse to do this other thing. So I mean, she's wrong. She's so wrong. But
yeah. So she does a spell. She gets ready. She walks downstairs and she walks over to a fireplace and she does a crazy spell. Where she wants to erase all of Buffy and Tara's bad memories. The wording in the spell is purge their mind of memories grim. tabula rasa, tabula rasa, tabula rasa.
And she mentions that it has God. She's burning the forget-me-not flowers, I believe they're mm-hmm. called, that we've learned on Discord.
Crucially,
right? Yeah.
She's only burning one forget-me-not yeah. flower.
Somehow she has a bag of them.
Yeah, and they're in like a Ziploc bag, like it's weed or something.
That she got for the magic box. Because yeah. they sell those, probably. Mm-hmm. So she has those flowers, and she has this green crystal. And it's like, when the crystal turns black, their memories are whack.
Are whack.
When the crystal turns black, their memories, they shall lack, or something like some nonsense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just for the audience. That crystal's just for the audience.
Yeah. So she sticks that crystal in her pocket, leaves the baggie of forget-me-nots right next to the fireplace.
Leaves like the fireplace on.
As
like
she's
just
leaving.
The fire, yeah. Like,
they're leaving the house. What are you doing? But anyway. So we go over to the magic box now, and Giles is about to tell the Scoobs that he's leaving. He's like, I got something to tell you all. It might come as a shock. And Buffy's like, just get to the fucking point, Giles.
Are you on Giles or Buffy's side here?
I think I'm more on Buffy's side, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I feel like there needs to be a little grace period for him to be like, I'm going to ease you in. Like, he had the ticket ready to go, like, that night. I think he needs to be like, hey, I got to ease you into this. We're going to, you just came back from being dead. I think that buys you another year.
I think he should have been like, hey, a couple months, I'm going back to England.
Yeah.
Let me teach you. Let me actually teach you everything you need to know about me.
You know when that time we dressed up Xander in a sumo suit and you were kicking him? That's pretty much it. That's lame. I could throw a couple more daggers at you, but yeah.
Maybe he thinks that, like, if he doesn't leave right away, like, she'll convince him to stay. But he should have, like, been like, hey, I know that you're going through a lot of shit. You got all these bills. You don't have a job. Let me, like, get you back on your feet for a little bit. I'm going to head out in 3 to 6 months.
He's deadbeat dadding it again, where he wrote her check so that she'd get out of her financial ruin. And then he's like, all right, no, I'm done.
I just don't, like, he so wanted to be her watcher. Like, last season, he was reinstated as the watcher. Like, so, is he just abandoning his watcher post?
Yeah. What?
I know she's going to get a new watcher?
I know that she quit having a watcher, and they didn't the watchers are the weirdest group, man. I'm sorry. I just don't get what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
like, we're at a loss for words.
Are they going to assign her a new watcher? Like, she's still a slayer. She's the slayer out in the world right now.
They should. What do they know about her dying?
I don't know, man. Maybe we'll get answers, but as of right now, I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
But before Giles can tell anybody, like, hey, I'm Bolton, Spike rushes through the door. He's sizzling like fajita meat.
Chili.
So he comes running. He's dressed in like all spiffies and like a weird tuxedo from like the 1930s. And Anya's like, what the fuck are you wearing, dude? And Spike's like, I need asylum. I need asylum. The shark guy, he's after me.
He's wearing a bow tie too. Did he have that like cloak on, or does he just have the hat?
Just has the hat.
All right, sure. I don't know how much sunlight they have.
I can remember, it's just a hat.
Yeah, he's got the one with the ear flaps down, like one of those Fargo hats it looked like, I think.
Yeah. Those hats are actually amazing in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
They're so good.
And they're so good if you find yourself in the sunlight as a vampire.
Facts.
It'll get you from down Main Street. I don't know where he's ever running from.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But he comes in and he's like, hey, the shark is after me. I need asylum. And they're like, what? What are you doing here, dude? Like, none of us like you. So then we cut over to the Summers home and we see that Willow's spell starts to work. But one of the embers from the fireplace jumps out of the fireplace into the baggie, the Ziploc bag that Willow left 3 inches away from the fireplace. And all of the flowers start to burn. And then we go back to the magic box. And Giles is telling everybody, like, hey, I'm leaving and I'm planning to stay in England. I'm not coming back. And Buffy's like, yeah, you hear that, everybody? Giles fucking hates us all. He sucks. He's abandoning us. He's deserting us. How do you all feel about that? And she's like pissed. And she's like, guys, I can't take this anymore. I am up to here with the bullshit. Okay. Can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
So she starts to storm out and Willow's like, I'm sorry, Buffy. Like, we just wanted you to be happy. We wanted to bring you back. And Buffy's like, it's too much. I can't take it. I can't take your apologies. I know that you're sorry. I'm sorry that you're sorry, but you guys don't know how much you fucked me. Okay. No idea. And as she's like about to storm out, she passes out. And then everybody's like, oh.
She says something like, it feels like I'm dying or something. And then she passes out. Yeah. It's like something that leads up to that. And just hearing talk about this again, she just told everyone that, like, the day before that she came from heaven. Giles says today is the day he decides that he's going to leave. No, like, asking her questions about heaven. No, like, hey, I know a great therapist. like nothing. He's just like, yeah, you'll be fine. Raised on, I know you're in hell on earth. I don't want to be a part of it. Yeah. It's not a good look, Giles. Not a good look.
Nah, it's a terrible look.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But, I mean, Buffy has a great point of, like, why now?
Yeah.
Like, earlier when Giles is breaking it to her, she's like, why now? After you, now that you know everything I've been through.
And he showed her his Zillow post of his place in Bath. But it's not like England doesn't have demons and monsters and shit.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But anyway, so Buffy passes out, and then all the Scoobies pass out, and then the fireplace is shown, and the crystal turns black, and it's like, all right, we're in the end game now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, it's now nighttime. The Scoobies have been passed out for quite some time, and Buffy wakes up. She's like, where am I? Who am I? Turns the lights on. All the Scoobies wake up. They're all like, where are we? Who are we? Who are you? What is all this? And then Giles gets up and he's like, does anybody remember anything? How we got here? And nobody understands. And then Anya is like, somebody says, like, maybe we all just got drunk. And they're like, I don't see any booze around. And Anya's like, yeah. And I don't see Alan Funt anywhere. And I was like, who the fuck? And I looked him up
He was the host of Candid Camera.
Oh, wow.
In like the 1960s.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know who that was, and I did not look it up.
Yeah, I decided, I was like, this is a reference that I need to... There's another one later on that I was like, what the fuck is that?
I knew that one. Are you talking about Xanders?
Yeah.
I didn't know Xanders. Yeah.
Okay. But
it is a random reference.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, as if Alan Funt isn't.
I mean, Alan Funt is. Because Candid Camera, didn't it come back? Or am I thinking I might be thinking Home Videos, America's Home Videos.
I mean, I feel like Candid Camera came back in the form of Punk'd.
Wasn't there a 90s version of Candid Camera or something?
But yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But they're all confused. They start looking around the magic box and they're like, okay, we're in a magic store. Maybe something magical happened. And Giles is like, poppycock. Magic is a bunch of chicanery and bullshit.
And then he's like, I know that I'm British and wear glasses and a male.
Yeah. And Dawn's all worried. Dawn, as much as Buffy is pouty, Dawn reverts into like, baby, I'm a lost child. Like, I'm so scared.
Yeah. Dawn is Dawn doesn't do much this episode, but just complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Giles talks about, hey, I'm British. And then Spike starts trashing him for being British or English. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I'm English too. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he looks at himself. He's wearing a spiffy little suit. He looks at Giles, who's wearing a spiffy little suit. He's like, huh, you must be my... And then Giles is like, brother? And then Spike's like, you're more like my dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get the facts right here. You're my dad.
Oh, now we get Restless. Remember they were on the swings together? That's what Restless
Spike
was
is wearing
about.
The suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Sure.
I think Spike is wearing this exact suit.
No, that one, it was brown. It was both. They were both wearing brown. Like in this version, like his suit's like kind of like a reddish, I think.
Spike's?
I think it is. I don't think it's...
No, I'm pretty sure it's the same, like, tan, brown.
Mm.
Let me look. Hold on. I took a screenshot of it for the Fashion Report / Corner.
Okay. Notice that Giles is wearing not his normal, like, woolen suit. He's wearing more of, like, a black, like, just more of a modern-day suit in this episode.
So Spike's bow tie is maroon, but his suit is brown.
Okay.
But, so yeah, Spike is like, oh yeah, you must be my dad. And Giles is like, all right, sure. And then so Anya is like, well, who am I?
Anya.
And she looks down at, oh, right, Anya, sorry. Anya looks down at her hand and she's like, well, I'm engaged and I woke up on top of Giles. So I think that we're engaged. We're a couple. And Giles is like, oh, fuck yeah. All right. I got a nice hot young dish as my fiance. And then Spike calls Anya a trollop. Lovely word. Love that word. Then Giles is like, well, all right, well, let's all look for our driver's licenses. Here's my driver's license. I'm Rupert Giles. Then Spike's like, Rupert. And then Xander's like, I'm Alexander Harris. All right, cool. Willow's like, oh, I'm Willow Rosenberg. I'm a student. Or Tara's like, I'm Tara. No last name.
Did she get a last name?
She did not. They did not say her last name. Because I was like, I'm always wondered what Tara's last name is.
I'm Tara guest starring.
But she pulls out, she's like, hey, I'm Tara. I'm a student at Sunnydale University. And Willow's like, me too. All right, cool. Maybe we're study buddies. And then so Buffy and Dawn search themselves and they're like, we don't have wallets.
Why?
Well, Buffy doesn't have a driver's license.
She doesn't have a driver's license, but she did go to the college.
True.
She's only been dead, what, 3 months?
I mean, she would have a wallet at least.
Like a something.
Yeah. But Spike decides, he's like, all right, well, let me look for my wallet. He doesn't have a wallet, but he looks at his suit, and the suit maker's name is like Randy or something. Mm-hmm. It says Randy in the suit, so I must be Randy Giles. And then he's like, oh God, that's terrible. What a fucking awful. Ugh. It's like, great. I'm a horny Giles.
Good stuff.
Willow realizes that she's wearing Xander's jacket. And she's like, okay, I'm wearing your jacket. I woke up on top of you. We're all kind of cuddled up together. So, Xander, we must be a couple. And Xander's like, yeah, or I have a brother. And he's like, oh, or you're my girlfriend, I guess. Okay, cool.
It's interesting then, that Xander doesn't go more like, definitely.
Yeah.
Or like, right? Cheers. He's like, well, maybe you're dating my brother.
Yeah. He's like sheepish in this. He's like, oh, I must have a brother that you're dating.
Yeah.
And Willow's like, no, I woke up next to you, cuddled up. And he's like, oh, all right. Either we're a couple or my brother's going to be super pissed. So Anya goes behind the store counter and she's like, oh, check this out. I'm Anya. And Giles, we own this shop together. Isn't that lovely? And Giles is like, yeah, that's quite progressive that we own it together.
Yeah. I think he was saying, I don't think he was saying it that way. I think he was saying that they own a magic shop. That's how I initially thought too. I was like, why would he think it's progressive? But then he had just belittled magic. So he thinks it's progressive that he does magic.
So then we go over to Buffy and Buffy's like, well, I don't know my name. And Dawn's like, huh? I don't know my name either. And Buffy grabs Dawn's necklace and she's like, oh, it says Dawn here. I guess your name is Dawn. And
they don't give Dawn anything fun.
Right. So Dawn's like, okay, well, what's your name? Buffy's like, well, I'm going to decide on my name right now. I feel like I'm a Joan. And Dawn's like, ew, fucking Joan, really? Buffy's like, well, yeah, what's wrong with that? And then they start bickering and then they're like, we must be sisters.
I gotta say, first time they felt like sisters the whole series to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no, they bickered before.
Yeah, but it never felt like, it felt like, I'm real, you're the Slayer. Like that kind of bickering. This felt like sister bickering. Like where it's really nonsense. Like Dawn goes like, I can name you. She's like, no, I can name myself. Like that's that's sibling stuff right there.
Yeah. I love that Buffy doesn't, or nobody's like, you look like a Buffy. I'm so glad that nobody did that.
If someone did that, that would be... No, this is fitting into that Marvel thing because Willow's like, Willow, that's a silly name. You know, like that kind of thing. And some of the callbacks we get later.
Yeah. But I feel like somebody says like, Joan, I feel like you're more unique than just like Joan. Is it Dawn that says that?
I don't know. I think Dawn just kind of rips her. I don't remember what someone said about Joan. But it's interesting that she picked Joan because it made me think at first, like, oh, what was her mom's name? Joyce. Okay. I was like, that's really close. It'd be interesting if she said Joyce.
My first thought went to like Joan of Arc or something like that.
Yeah.
But so, Buffy is like, all right, you know what we should do? I think we should go to the hospital. Maybe they'll help us out and maybe they can help us figure out what's going on. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a good plan. Let's go to the hospital.
Let's go to the murder hospital.
So they go and they start to walk outside. They open the door and there's a bunch of vampires waiting at the door. And they're all like, oh, what the fuck? Slam the door in the vampires' faces. Spike is like, oh, my God, it's fucking vampires. They all panic. They're all huddled around. The vampires are on the outside and they're like, send out Spike. Send out Spike. And Spike is like, I don't know, these guys, they want spikes. Let's go get them some spikes. He grabs a bunch of steaks, which I have been chastised on this podcast for saying, calling steaks spikes. When Spike himself goes and grabs a bunch of steaks, thinking that they're spikes, get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Redemption.
That is true. That is very, you've been chided a bunch for that. And then you chide me for doing it because you've been chided so much for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were like, this is a good joke. So we're going to do spikes, steaks and spikes.
Yeah.
And I think someone mentioned on Discord that they wanted to see more of the Scoobies like chiseling and whittling away stakes. Apparently, yeah, they have a ton of them.
I know, and Spike knew exactly where to get them, even though his memory's been wiped.
And they never carry stakes with them when they go out on patrol. They have.
Yeah, when you see Spike has like 30 stakes.
It's more than enough for the people. They can carry two apiece.
Yeah.
There's something that happens in the Angel episode that really got me too. Having to do with vampires and weaponry. But yeah.
Patreon.com/SportsWatchingBuffy. But yeah, there's a miscommunication and Spike is like, well, here, let's give them these spikes. That's what they want, I guess. And they keep saying, the vampires outside keep saying, like, we want the Slayer. And then they all have a miscommunication. Like, they want to slay her. They want to slay some woman. That's fucked up. I don't like that. And then Xander finds a door that leads to the sewers. And he's like, we should escape through the sewers. And they're like, all right, let's do that. Maybe we should try giving these guys the spikes first. And they're like, all right, well, the vampires break in. Xander starts praying like a Catholic prayer. He starts praying a Hebrew prayer. And he starts doing like an Om prayer. He's like, I don't know what I worship, but I'm praying to all of you.
Now, my question, I know this is a public place, but the vampires can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you run a magic shop. Is there nothing you can put on the outside of this place that stops at least vampires that are not invited? Like, we know that Willow has that spell that she does. Yeah. And if she does, she just has to do it once. And it's not even like her spell. I think Giles helped come up with it and Willow can do it. Whatever. They can do that one spell and only invited vampires can come in, I think. Or maybe it disinvites all vampires. I don't know. But there has to be some defense mechanism at this place.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that 100,000 times.
Ad nauseum.
But the vampires come in. They grab Spike. Buffy beats up the vampire that she's been fighting. She stakes Spike's vampire and she says, stay away from Randy. And that vampire turns to dust. And Buffy's all confused. And she's like, what the hell just happened? And then the one vampire is like, I'm leaving and I'm telling the boss about this. And Buffy turns around and she's like, holy shit, I must be some kind of superhero. Awesome.
Yeah. And Xander
I also just love stay away from Randy. Dude.
The naming, the name is just so good in this. I do like that she's like, life would be so much better if I just stopped saving Spike. And like right away, she's saving him again.
Yeah. So the shark guy, the loan shark, is outside the magic box. And Buffy's like, I got a plan. Giles, Anya, you guys are magic shop owners. Maybe you guys could do like a spell or something to help us. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that'll be good. Xander and the others, you're going to escape through the sewers. Giles, Buffy and Spike are going to go outside. And before they do, Giles is like, wait, Randy, my son, be careful. And they hug.
It's so good.
It's so funny because it's like Giles is like, I should be doing this, but I don't remember this. But I guess this is what I should be doing in this moment.
Well, there's a
great acting.
There's something that happens earlier where there's like a moment of like where Spike goes, oh, I bet you never treated me like that. Like Giles was abandonment dad or something. I forget what happens.
I think it's when Buffy and Dawn realize that they're sisters. Yeah. And they like hug and they're like, oh, we're sisters. Yeah. So
I do want to mention this, though. This is a little another nitpicky thing. The lone shark demon and the vamps are just pacing back and forth on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys, the vampires in suits, sure, fine. There's a shark man on Main Street. This episode has like no extras at all in it.
Yeah. But it is pretty wild.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so Buffy and Spike, they decide, hey, we're going to run out. We're going to beat up these vampires because Buffy's a superhero. They go outside. They start running. Buffy's beating up the vampires. Spike starts beating up the vampires, turns vampire-faced, looks at Buffy, and he's like, hey, looks like I'm a superhero too. And Buffy sees him in his vampire face, and she's like, ah, just runs.
Yep.
Great scene, great little misinformation,
reveal.
I guess.
Reveal.
Yeah, reveal, yeah.
Yeah. I love his uppercut that he does on that vampire. Why is he so much stronger than other vampires?
Dude.
It's a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer.
So Spike fights the rest of these vampires, and he's upset that his buddy, his superhero compatriot, Joan, has left. He's all pissed. He's like, what the hell's going on? He tries to chase after her. Xander, Willow, Tara, and Dawn are escaping through the sewer, and Willow and Tara, like, they kind of feel up each other a little bit. They're
helping down the ladder, little flirtatious yeah. looks on the help down.
Yeah, it's awkward as hell. But then as they're walking through the sewers, they run into a vampire, and they're like, oh, holy shit.
Now, question, is this vampire with the loan sharks, or is this like some random vampire? Because he's wearing like a suit like he's with the loan sharks.
Yeah, I thought that he was with the loan shark.
Yeah. But it's just like one guy in a sewer by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But we go back up into the magic box, and Anya and Rupert Giles talk. And Anya is happy, like, oh my God, this is pretty cool that we own a store. This is pretty rad. I think this is really neat that we are together and we own this together. And Giles is like looking through his pockets, and he sees his plane ticket back to England, his one-way plane ticket. He's like, huh, I wonder what this is all about. And Anya is like, hey, I think we should look in this book. And Giles is like, why? She's like, I don't know. I just trust my intuition that this random book is the one that we need. And I'm going to open this book to a random page, and I bet you it's going to be the answer.
I love the meta commentary here.
Yes, me too. Me too. And she's like, all right, here, I'm going to open this up. All right, let me say this spell. Bear, jumble, germination. And then the book turns into a bunny. And Anya screams. And she hides behind Giles.
Yeah. This is good.
Love that those deep-seated fears don't get erased.
Mm-hmm. I loved when he found the ticket, too, because I wasn't expecting the ticket to play a part in this mind erase. But I was like, oh, this is a great, like, you lost your memory. You own a store with this woman that you're engaged to, but you have a one-way ticket to leave. Like, I was like, yeah. This is really good. This is really good stuff.
Yeah. So then we go over to Randy catching up with Joan, and she throws him to the ground. And she's like, get the fuck away from me. And Randy is like, why are you doing this, dude? Like, I'm on your side. I'm helping you. I was fighting those vampires. And Buffy, aka Joan, is like, bro, you are a vampire. And Randy's like, what? I'm not a vampire. And Joan's like, bro, touch your face, touch your teeth. You're a fucking vampire. And so Randy touches his face, touches his teeth. He's like, huh. I guess I am a vampire, but why don't I want to bite you? And why am I fighting other vampires? I must be a noble vampire. I must be a good guy on a mission of redemption. I help the helpless. I must be a vampire with a soul. And then Joan goes, oh my God, how lame is that?
It's nice that they're in different networks now too.
Yeah. So yeah. For people that don't realize, Angel's show, he has a private detective agency when their tagline is helping the helpless. And you all know about Angel the vampire with a soul. So yeah.
Unless you just started season four of this show and like you never understood who Angel was.
Who's this guy showing up to beat up Buffy's boyfriend?
unless you're Joe's girlfriend and you're like, wait, which one's that? Is that Spike? I know all the songs.
Knew half the words to the first song. And then we just confused the rest of the episode. But anyway, we go back to Giles and Anya, and they're looking at the books, and the magic box is just filled with bunnies. And it seems like all of the spells that Anya is doing is just leading to more bunnies being bred.
How many bunny spells are there?
I know. And how many bunny spells... Like, how many things that she could read would lead to bunnies? Like, is this just, like, something that's within her?
Because the Latin term for bunnies is really, really interesting sounding. I'll look it up while you're talking, but yeah.
But yeah, there's bunnies all over the joint. Giles is like, oh, yeah, this is going great. Yeah, yeah, your intuition's really helping us now.
I do love that they started going right into, like, fighting like they normally would.
Yeah.
The Latin for rabbit is lepus, L-E-P-U-S, lepus.
There you go.
Lepus.
Because they're always leaping, leaping over us. But anyway, so then we go back to Spike and Buffy, and Spike is like, no, I'm a hero, dude. I'm a hero. I'm really good. And then the vampires show up and they start fighting again. The rest of the Scoobies are running through the sewers. They hide in this little pipe, and Willow and Tara are next to each other, and they're getting all hot and heavy near, like they're breathing on each other. Like, oh, isn't this spooky?
It was a long scene. They held that shot for a while.
Yeah. A little too long, if you ask me. Like, it's like, we get it.
Like, yeah.
Then we go back to Anya and Giles, they're fighting. Now the magic box is even more filled with bunnies, and there's a green sky like over top of them. And Giles is like, woman, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Get down, put the book down. She's like, maybe the next one won't be bunnies.
Again, this is how easy magic is. You open a book, you read it out loud, you're done.
Yep. So then we go back to Joan and Randy fighting vampires. We cut back to Giles, and now Giles is sword fighting a skeleton.
Loved it.
Yeah, me too. Love this so much.
That's the perfect heightening. Yeah.
He's screaming it at Anya, like, put the fucking book down, no more spells. We're done with this. Put it down.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We go back to the sewers and Willow's with Dawn. And Willow's like, hey, Dawn, how are you doing? Dawn's like, I'm scared. How are you doing? And Willow's like, I'm also scared. And Dawn's like, yeah, I'm scared, but this oddly feels kind of familiar, if I'm being real with you. And Willow's like, yeah, also, I'm a little confused. I'm a little worried. Also, I think I'm kind of gay. Nice callback to Vamp Willow.
Mm-hmm.
When Willow is talking about Vamp Willow, and she's like, I don't know, I think Vamp Willow might be kind of gay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Giles is now yelling at Anya again, and they hide behind the counter, and he's like, you have no idea what you're doing. You're getting us into a more mess. You are summoning more bunnies. Is that helping us? It's not helping us at all. And Anya's like, I don't know why, but I just feel very compelled to take vengeance on you right now. She whacks Giles in the head with a book. And he's like, ah! Loved that callback to Anya's history. I wish that Giles would have been knocked unconscious by the book.
I was waiting for him to pass out immediately when she hit him with the book.
But he doesn't do that. He gets bonked on the head. And he's like, oh, you know what? You're insufferable. No wonder I'm leaving you. And Anya's like, what? You're leaving me? And he's like, yeah, I found this one-way ticket to London in my pocket, and I'm out of this engagement. And then Anya's like, oh, How could you? She takes her engagement ring off and throws it at Giles. It goes skittering across the room. And when I saw this, I was like, how do you know that Anya doesn't have a ticket to London? You know?
Yeah. I thought...
But...
Yeah, I thought... I did like the drama that it brought up, but I didn't think he would see that ticket and think, oh, I have a one-way ticket. I'm going on vacation. I'm going home. Like, he jumped to, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
It's fine. She could, it would have been funny. She's like, I have a ticket too. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So then we go over to the vampire in the sewers, and he's sniffing around. He's like, I smell fear. He finds out where the scoops are. Xander jumps out, starts fighting the vampire. As the rest of them escape Willow Dawn Terra, Giles looks through a book. He does a spell, thunder claps, and then Giles like apologizes to Anya, and she's like, "Oh, Rupee, you're my dear Rupee," and she doesn't want Giles to leave her. And Giles is like, "I don't want to leave you either." And then he just plants a big old smooch on her.
Mm-hmm. And this is the dip. This is the dip kiss you would expect at the end of last, yep. At the musical.
At the end of Once More with Feeling? Yes. Yeah. So we go back to the sewers, and the vampire is attacking Willow, Dawn, and Terra. And as he's attacking them, the crystal from Willow's spell falls out of Willow's pocket. And as Willow and Terra like fall together, like their faces get all close, and Willow's on top of Terra, and they're all meanwhile Xander is in the back fighting a vampire for his life.
Yeah.
to save their lives, to save his life. Dawn makes a makeshift stake, I think,
finds some wood and pulls it, and it obviously, yeah.
Yeah, she throws it. She goes, here you go, Alex.
I love that. I love that he called him Alex.
Me too.
Yeah.
Alex stakes the vampire, gets dusted. Willow and Terra, it looks like they're about to go in for a kiss.
Yeah. She's real like, horny during right in front of your... real horny what? During a death-defying situation.
Right, like, dude?
Like, kill the vampire right first.
It's right in front of your presumed boyfriend, too.
They never did anything with that. I thought Xander was going to see them and be like, hey, whoa. You know, like.
Yeah, we're like, hey, maybe we're a threesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we're a throuple.
Am I in college? Like, there's just so many jokes you could layer on top of this thing.
Yeah. But after Alex dusts this vampire, he and Dawn start walking over to Willow and Terra, and he steps on the crystal. And as he steps on the crystal, it shatters into like 100 bajillion pieces. And everybody's memory comes back. And Giles and Anya wake up in the middle of their dip kiss. And they're like, Buffy and Spike get their memories back in the middle of fighting vampires. And Buffy just gets fucking kicked right in the face, dude.
Buffy's in the middle of saying, don't mess with Joan, the vampire. And then she like snaps out of it.
Yeah. But Buffy falls to the ground and she just starts getting stomped, dude. Yeah. Like
she just gave up at that point.
Yeah. This is like the most brutal beating I feel like Buffy is. Like that vampire is just kicking her right in the gut, dude.
And like, you know, she still has her powers. Her memory just came back. Like she's just so shell shocked by the mind raping that she's just like, I'm down again. Fuck this.
Yeah. I mean, that vampire is stomping a mud hole in her, dude,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As the great Jim Ross would say. But we go back to the sewer, and Terra is looking at Willow, and she's like, you bitch. You fucking used magic. You didn't even make it one fucking day. Xander starts laughing, and he's like, isn't this weird? And everybody looks at him. He's like, oh, sorry, I just got back the memory of seeing King Ralph. And this is the one that I had to look up. It's a 1991 comedy movie.
Yeah, it's a John Goodman movie that is, I can't imagine a lot of people remember this movie. He was like some slub that ended up becoming a, I guess, found out he was a king. So it's like a slub becoming rich type 90s comedy.
Mm.
That's the, I think I remember the poster for it of him sitting in a throne, but like a six pack or something like that. But that's about
that was
it.
Was exactly what I saw when I Googled this.
And it's like, I think he had a bowling alley in his house. Because that was a big
dude,
thing.
John Goodman Rich. Fucking loves bowling.
Yeah.
But Xander looks at everybody's like, all right, we should get back to the magic box. Let's head over. So he and Dawn leave. Because this is he and Dawn being like, oh, looks like they're about to have another fight. I'm going to step out of this one.
Dude, my notes just say, poor, poor Tara.
Yep.
Like, man.
So Tara and Willow sit up and Tara is crying. Willow's looking at Tara like, I know I fucked up. Baby, no, don't leave me, baby.
I need you, baby. I need you.
Baby, I know I fucked up, baby. Just give me one more chance.
Yeah.
One more chance.
I know I can get the spell right. Just let me try it again.
But Tara is devastated, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But then she like kind of walks away. And Willow's like doing this walk, like the stiff-armed walk, mm-hmm. like, I know I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So we go back up to the magic box and Giles and Anya are just like vigorously cleaning the store. They're like, yep, clean. We need to make the store clean. We need to make everything clean. We need to make everything as clean as possible.
Here's a question I haven't even thought of. When do you think Anya tells Xander that she kissed Giles?
I don't know.
Like, it's definitely going to happen, like, randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
It's more of a reason for Giles to get out of town now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But after Giles and Anya are cleaning up the magic box, we go over to Spike, and Spike is just staking vampires left and right now. He's like, and there's one for your mother. Here's this other one. Yeah, here's another stake for you, you sons of bitches. I forget what the actual line is. Like, here's one for you and one for you. So after all the vampires have been vanquished, the shark guy shows up. The shark guy is like, hey, buddy. Oh, so you took out all my goons. It's kind of crazy. I thought we were going to kill you, but now that you've taken out all my goons, you know what, maybe I'll forgive your debt. I'll forgive your debt. Just don't kill me. Don't kill any more of my goons. And Spike grabs the shark guy and he's like, hey, I'll fucking pay you back. I just need more time. I'm not a welcher. All right? You'll get your kittens. I was like, all right. Good,
yeah,
good on like, you, Spike.
Yeah. Good job, Spike.
So shark guy leaves. Spike walks over to where Buffy is and he's like, here, let me help you up. And Buffy just looks pissed. She does not accept Spike's help up. She gets up on her own and she just storms off. And Spike is left there like, what did I fucking do?
Right? Like, Spike didn't do anything but just, kill some vampires.
Right? He just saved her from getting stomped some more.
Here's an interesting question. That another one of those rhetorical can't be answered. So the magic... She wanted it just to be for Tara and Buffy, right?
Yeah.
But then it affected all of them. Did it affect all of them because they were like near her and the stone and the crystal? Because it doesn't affect anyone else in the town.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And also if they erased all of Buffy and Tara's bad memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think that no one else is going to bring up that kind of shit around them and like jog their memories? Like Willow did this in secret.
Yeah, I think Willow needs to be like, hey, I did a spell. And then she would have to tell Giles not to have ever mentioned heaven to Buffy in a private conversation. But by doing that, Giles would be pissed at her.
Dude, everybody would be pissed at her.
Yeah.
If Willow showed up and was like, hey, Xander, I wiped out all the bad memories. Xander would have been like, I feel like even Xander would have been like, yo.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's weird enough that she was talking to him through there and like telepathically.
Yeah, that was very weird. But anyway, Buffy's pissed. She storms off. We then go to the Bronze, where I believe this is Michelle Branch.
Huh. I was wondering. I don't know.
I know that Michelle Branch was in an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I just didn't know what one. I think this is her.
Let us know on Discord.
I tried to Shazam the song, and it just did not show up.
Yeah, I didn't. And that surprised me either. Yeah,
it surprised me because I was like, this would have at least maybe made it onto like a Buffy soundtrack thing or like on Spotify. Like,
not when
I can't believe this is nowhere.
Not when the musical's topping the charts.
But yeah, let us know in Discord. Is this Michelle Branch? I'm pretty sure it is.
The lyrics are on point. Like the lyrics are like not subtle at all. I wrote a couple down. They are not subtle.
Yeah, she wants, she's singing about how she just wants to get over it and she wants to move on, but she's got tears behind her eyes, but she does not cry. What other lyrics do you have that you've got written down?
It's one that says, looks like I'm starting all over again. The last 3 years were pretend. Goodbye to you. And then there was the one later. I want you, but I'm not giving in this time. Goodbye to you.
Yeah. And we pan around the dance floor and we see Buffy at the bar. And Buffy's full blown pouty face.
I love
this bar alone too.
I love this bar serves their drinks in the solo cups. The red and blue solo cups. It is a high school bar if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. So Buffy's all sad at the bar. Her reality is shaken. We're now in the midst of a sad montage. Mm-hmm. I have to state. So we then go over to Tara. She's cleaning out her stuff from Joyce's room. She's packing her bags. We go over to Willow. Willow's crying in the bathroom. She's sitting down. She's weeping. Giles is on his plane back to England. He looks sad. He can't believe he's doing it.
He can't believe he booked the middle seat to a flight to London.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, Giles looks pretty tall. That's going to be brutal.
Normally when they show airplanes like that, it's never that shot in TV. Right? Like, he is in a packed plane all the way in the back. Yeah.
So then we go to Spike, and Spike shows up to the bar, and he wants to go up, and he wants to talk to Buffy, and Buffy can't even look at him. He's just, And so Spike is like, oh, yeah? Well, fuck you. And he just turns around and leaves.
Yeah, that's when the I want you, but I'm not giving in this time lyric comes up.
So then we go back to the Summers house and we see Tara with her little box of stuff. Tara didn't have a lot of stuff in this house.
Where's she staying? Does she still have her, like, they've ripped the walls off of their dorm. Glory ripped the walls down.
Maybe she'll like get a good deal moving into like Giles's old place or something.
You think she's still in the show?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But she can't go to the magic box.
Now, and this is what blows my mind. Mm-hmm. So Tara's got her little cardboard box full of all of her belongings. She's on the porch. Dawn is there. And Dawn is there, like, leaned up against a post. And Tara looks over at Dawn. And Dawn just, like, throws her hands up in frustration and runs into the house. I was like, Dawn, what are you fucking upset about?
They're trying to do the whole divorce kid angle play, you know, like
dad's Dawn's leaving. Like, not again.
Yeah, why don't you guys can work it out. But it's like they haven't established that that's their relationship in the group. I know she likes Tara too, but also Dawn, you just had your mind erased by Willow.
Yeah,
you get it, right? You do understand how fucked up this is? Right?
Yeah, I just love that Dawn is like, yeah, so what, she wiped your memory twice?
Yeah, but we were family. She wiped your memory after she brought my sister from heaven. Like, like,
who am I going to steal from now? You had some cool stuff I was looking to steal.
Maybe she ran away because she didn't want her to see that she was wearing those earrings. No, but they're definitely trying to do that divorce parent. But it just doesn't. I know what they're going for. I don't know. Yeah.
So then we go back to the bronze, and we get one more pan around of someone who I think is Michelle Branch, and we pan around the dance floor, and then we finally land on Spike and Buffy just hardcore making out in the bronze in the back corner up against a pole. And I was like, God damn, they're going for it.
I wrote yay in my notes because I was happy that we didn't have the like, oh, they kissed last episode, but now it's going to be this will they, won't they. And I was like, I don't want that. I just want them to like, okay, let's have them hooking up. Let's have the Scoobies get pissed about it. Let's do all the stuff, you know?
Yep. And that is where the episode ends. You have any last thoughts about Tabula Rasa?
Yes. So, where do you think? I have a big one, but I want to start with these. Giles, you think he's done except for like maybe some spot play here and there?
Yeah, I think he'll get some spot play, but I think he's done.
I think he'll come in. I think we might get an episode here or there. We might get like some shots of him in London looking up something. Remember when he left the first time, he said that Dawn could always call him if she needed help?
Yeah.
And then he came back and she needed help and he was like, I'm out.
Yep. I think Giles might come back. Like, he's like one of those type of guys like, hey, I'm here whenever. I'll always be there for you when you need me. So when there's a big, big bad, I think Giles will come back.
I think we might see him a couple times, but I think like maybe he's got 3 episodes left in him total.
Mm, okay.
And Tara is trickier because I can't see a way for Tara to be around the group because they never establish her like, oh, she hangs out at the bronze or, oh, we'll pass her at the espresso pump. Like, I don't know how she shows up and it's, one, I don't think she can ever get back with Willow.
No.
So I think it's just like, and she's not really a part of the Scoobies outside of that. She's not friends with Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that maybe Tara comes back max one episode.
Yeah. I think she's done too. Yeah.
Yeah, because now I think that it's going to be full heel turn for Willow.
Man, I think we probably predicted that they break up or something, or somebody or one of us predicted they break up and they get back together. But there's no coming back from this.
Yeah.
Talk about trust issues. Like,
yeah, dude. This is what I always talk about how like I would never trust any reality. I would be like, oh, my God, after Jonathan, after Glory, after the monks, after Willow, like, dude.
Yeah, this season is literally a mindfuck of a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the big one, though, for me. On Discord, we talked about how Xander got let off a little easy for, like, the whole sweets dancing thing. Like, the Scoobies just let that pass. That he, like, somehow summoned a demon that killed everyone. I think the writers were like, let's just make it him in the episode. But if you take it as a character thing, they should be really pissed off that he did that and didn't say anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, the end of this episode does not end with Willow getting punched in the face. She's emotionally hurt. But I'm sorry. Like, Buffy seems like she's all pissed at Spike at the end of this.
Yeah.
You guys need to sit Willow down or chain her down somewhere. And, like, give her a real intervention.
Yes, absolutely.
This is what she did, almost killed you all, and is a violation of everything.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I mean, maybe she'll get that comeuppance in the next episode or something, but, yeah, there needs to be a conversation.
And again, to be
fair, should have been a conversation with Xander last episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it storytelling-wise, but if we're just taking these characters as people, I don't think my first thing is Giles is like, I'm just going to hop on a plane. I'm like, what the fuck did you just do, Willow? Like,
I might hop on that plane and be like, I'm get me the fuck out of here.
I'd be afraid she'd like summon it down.
Yeah.
You know what she did when someone threatened to break out with her? They didn't even threaten her. They were like, maybe give it a week of magic. And she's like, nope, I can fix it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next episode is titled Smashed.
Now, I accidentally saw the thumbnail for this one, so I will not be making a prediction. But I will say, what I glanced from the thumbnail, it's going to be real exciting for us to talk about this one.
All right. Okay. Hmm. You think fucking Buffy and Spike smashed? I don't think that was a turn of phrase back in 2001.
Smashing was not a...
Yeah.
If you just said, when did that musical Smash, that TV show on Fox, come out? That was later, I think.
That had to be like 2012 or something.
Yeah. Based off the title... Oh, man.
Smashed.
I would think that the trio had something to do, that the trio would come back into play, but I really wouldn't have anything. And yeah,
I'm going to guess Olaf the Troll was back.
Olaf the Troll?
Olaf the Troll. He's come to get his hammer. Olaf smash.
Hulk smash? All right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's good.
Potatoes. Smashed potatoes.
Smashed potatoes.
Is it the Thanksgiving episode? Yeah, this is around Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, smashed potatoes. I'm
sick. My God. If it's a Thanksgiving episode, the way these people are like not getting along, that'll be interesting.
Not firing on all cylinders, people. My predictions are garbage.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think people will enjoy the next episode regardless.
Well, all right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies. If you want to get a shout out, Apple Podcast 5-star rating and review, Spotify 5-star rating, screenshot it, send it to our DMs at boyswatchingbuffy, boyswatchingbuffy at Gmail, at Joe Welke. We got Amazon wish list. We got merch. That link is in the show notes. Follow the Instagram at Boys Watching Buffy. And yeah, stay tuned next time for when we talk about Smashed.
I must be a noble vampire. A good guy. On a mission of redemption. I help the helpless. I'm a vampire with a soul.
A vampire with a soul? Oh my God, how lame is that?